This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Babe, how would you say your social battery is right now?
Probably non-existent since having Bear, but it's slowly coming back and I'm almost ready to get back out there and host a game night, babe. It's been too long.
I'm ready for that too.
I would say after having a baby, we've been in survival mode and haven't had a lot of extra time for socializing, but we're getting there.
Yeah, I agree. But at the same time, we both know it's important to surround ourselves with community during hard times. So it's been a tough balance that we're trying to manage. We actually talked about this in therapy recently, and it's been really helpful to dig into.
We've been open about getting back into therapy after having our third baby, and it's been a great game changer for us. We recommend it to literally anyone, not just couples going through a hard season. It's a great place to learn how to set boundaries, communicate, and learn how to build a social life without draining your battery.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, BetterHelp is an amazing option.
It's all online, so you can do whatever fits best with your schedule, which is perfect for us, especially with three babies.
You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and they let you switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/EastFam today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/EastFam. Let's get back to it. Did you guys ever almost pull the shoot on, not to get too much in the weeds, but either the business or like
the relationship?
We probably should have on both. You know, there are times where
day by day on everything.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Couple Things.
With Sean and Andrew.
A podcast all about couples.
And the things they go through.
Today we have Tiffany and Leon Chen, the co-founders of Tiff's Treats. The OGs, the actual OGs of cookie delivery. So much so, their website...
Warm cookie delivery.
Yes, but so much so, their website is literally cookiedelivery.com.
These two are amazing. We had a blast talking to them. We were honored they joined us on the show. But the reason they joined us was because they're coming out with a book called It's Not Just Cookies, all about their story of how they founded the company, which started on a date, actually, together.
And evidently in the book, they have some of their... like top secret, best-selling, best-ever cookie recipes you can find.
They give you a lot of recipes. They give you a lot of good stories, and they give you a lot of wisdom. We loved this episode with Tiff and Leon, and I think you will too. If you want to learn more about them and order their book called It's Not Just Cookies, we'll link it down below. But without further ado, we bring you Tiff and Leon Chen.
Wow. Tiff and Leon, a pleasure to have you. Good to meet you. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
Sean, Andrew, we're excited about this.
Leon, we have to know the story. How did you guys meet? No, we have to know the first date story.
Yes.
The actual first date? Or you mean the date that she stood me up on?
The date she stood you up on.
Yeah. I usually make her tell it because she did the standing up. But you see, we were supposed to meet up. And I thought we were going to meet up. It was understood by me. And for some reason, she wasn't there. And that was a little bit upsetting to me. So that's kind of the impetus of the entire business on accident.
Yeah, there was no the date never happened. So I baked cookies for fun as a hobby, and I baked him a set of cookies as an apology because I didn't make the date. I had been ice skating with a friend, and I didn't call to say I was running late. So I came over with cookies later and said I was sorry, and he took one bite of the cookies and all of a sudden had the idea to do an entire warm cookie delivery business from that.
It literally happened right then and there.
Yeah, yes. I mean, okay, first of all, I asked her, I said, hey, this would be really awesome, because when she happened to come over, they happened to be hot still. I was like, we should deliver this like pizza. And kind of like the date, she kind of shrugged it off, and she was like, no, I don't want to do that. And what's really funny is, at least the way I remember it, I would have let it go. Like, it was just another harebrained idea. And hours later, she called me, and she was at the grocery store, and she's like, you know, I thought about what you said. I'm looking at pricing, flour, eggs. You know, let's give this a try. And so it was one of those things where it happened all within a day, the idea to start the business.
Wait, so this was like on... kind of your first date, your second date.
It wasn't a first date, because that would have been really weird to launch a business out of that. We were dating at the time. This was just a date. I mean, what had you have planned for this date?
I don't remember.
Nothing. It wasn't even, it was just going to be coming over to his house. Wow. So it wasn't like something fancy that I sidestepped. No, we were dating at the time, which I guess makes it make a little bit more sense. And then we remember it differently because I remember that he was on the phone with me going over and over why it would be so great and everything about it would be so awesome. And I relented into going up to the grocery store and pricing things out. But somewhere in there.
Our whole relationship, literally in the car just a few minutes ago, me telling her how great something is and her telling me how not great something is going to be. And that's just pretty much how our whole life works.
This guy gets it.
That's how our whole life works too.
Oh my
gosh. I'm like the dream crusher.
Oh, yes.
Yes. He'll have like some crazy idea and I'm like, this will never work. Like, let's be realistic here. And he'll get mad. He's like, can't you just humor it? I'm like, no.
Yeah, the problem with humoring it is they do the ideas. So, like,
exactly.
I freaking like
Leon. We need to hang out. Just text me next time she crushes a dream, and I will text you as well, Andrew.
I was going to say, it sounds like these two should never hang out. Us four
will be going into a business together within days.
I have so many questions for you guys. First of all, from a business standpoint, you've done phenomenal things. Also, from a parenting standpoint, you've done awesome things. And a lot of times when we talk to couples, we found that it is an anomaly to have built a business such as you guys have and also do it together. Like, a lot of times it's, you know, the wife or the husband, one of the two sacrifices so that the other can go do the thing. But you guys have done it together. And in Sean and I's experience, I guess we've worked together for like 4 or 5 years. That's not easy. And you guys are like on a way different scale than we are. So a lot of questions that I'm excited to dig into. But I do want to start with, you started this before like the internet was a thing. 1990.
Yeah. Right. You know, right as it, I mean, we have cookiedelivery.com as our URL. So that's how long ago we started it. And it was all her idea. It was genius to get cookiedelivery.com.
Yeah, the internet was becoming widely available. So this, we started in 99. And so it was just new and people were just, dial up. When we talked about figuring out how we were going to run the business, we were cranking through dial up internet to figure out what packaging options there were and things like that. But yeah, and then we launched our online ordering platform about a year after we started, so in about 2000, and that's when we snagged cookiedelivery.com because we thought people wouldn't remember our name, but they could maybe remember that. And it was available because no one was on the internet.
Wow.
It is funny talking like in today's world, the fact that you have cookiedelivery.com.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
It's like such a valuable asset.
I just keep thinking, I'm like, how much would that domain cost?
I don't know now.
I don't know, but it's not for sale. So.
Yeah. It's not for sale.
Yes.
Wow. And you made it through Y2K, you know,
what a bullshit. We were in business.
Yeah. That was the least of our worries back then, actually.
I can't imagine you were taking orders on the dial-up. I haven't heard someone mention dial-up in like a long time.
It kind of dates us a bit.
I mean, like you said, we were in business before the internet exists, which, you know, that's dating enough.
Well, our first phone line was a cell phone that we bought just to take calls. So we never had a cell phone before the business. That's how long ago it was.
Dang.
So within your business, can you give us a little glimpse into what working together looks like for you two now?
Who has what role?
Yeah, well, Leon is the CEO and I'm the president, which means he's a little bit more focused on the strategic growth, investor relations, things that are pushing us forward. I'm a little more focused on the day-to-day branding, the product side, and we oversee different elements of the business.
Yeah, she likes to say that she makes all my crazy, stupid dreams come true. So I'm the dreamer, according to her, and she executes.
I'll filter them down to something doable. Yeah.
Dang.
So when it comes to your titles and how you guys operate, are you guys operating out of the same house every day? Do you have separate office spaces?
Yeah, we share an office. So we have I don't know why people are tickled by this, but we have face-to-face desks. So we're in one office together and our desks are face-to-face, but we have like monitors. So this is like what face-to-face, it just covers everything.
Yeah, and sometimes we'll get into a personal discussion or disagreement at work and we're like,
we stand up over the desk
so we can see each other.
When you're walking by and you see us kind of standing up over the monitor, you know it's because we're arguing.
You guys are adorable. This is a couple goals.
I know.
Right? You know what I'm saying? I don't know about that.
It sounds like you said if someone walks by and sees that you guys are standing up, they know you're in an argument. I feel like our girls and guys who work with us have very quickly learned what the signals are of like, oh, let's just not go in there just yet. Let's give them a few minutes.
Yeah.
I am curious though. So you guys have been married 11 years. Together, 20?
1,000.
So this is something we actually never really told until our book. But we actually went to high school prom together. So before the infamous stand-up date, I totally thought we went as a couple to prom, but she likes to say that it was just as friends. So like mixed signals even back
We went as friends. We started dating when we got to college, and then over Y2K, we broke up. Not because of Y2K, it just happened to be on that date. We broke up for a little while, but we still kept doing the business. And then we eventually got back together, and then eventually after that, married. So we were together a long, long, long time before we got married.
And then, so out of married 11 years, you guys have worked together how many years?
23?
Yeah, 23 years.
23 years. Dang. Yeah, you guys should write a book on just working with your significant other. What? So the bigger question I have in that time frame is, so you were working together long before you were married. What did you guys learn in working together of like, what boundaries did you learn? We always talk about boundaries. What boundaries did you learn you had to put in place in order to protect your relationship and give yourself that like, business and home separation?
Boundaryless?
Yeah, or we're more like not what we did right, but we'll tell you what not to do kind of people, because we mess up a lot. Number one is definitely trying to date other people while you're trying to build a business together is impossible, because that's what we try to do.
What?
So
that didn't work.
We were in college sophomores. We were 19 years old when we started the business. Business was growing. Yes. We were, you know, still doing it part-time while going to school. But since we had dated for so long, we decided, you know, maybe we should date other people at some point, and what better time than when you're in college? So we made a pact. It's like a stupid romantic comedy. It makes no sense. But we would start dating other people basically the year 2000.
January 1st, yeah, 2000.
Wow. And we had no fight, no impetus to break up, but we kind of did, just because we wanted to you know, have other relationships, meet other people. But we had this business, so we kept doing the business for the first few years while we dated other people. And well, I'll just skip to it. She had a lot more success than I did, let's put it that way. And it was very difficult on us. And we actually write about this in the book too, because it's so ludicrous looking back on it.
Yeah. In terms of boundary, I think the only lesson we really learned over all of these years in terms of working together and that kind of thing was identifying when you're having a work fight and when you're having a personal fight. Because in all of our younger years, like the first half of the years working together, we would be arguing and we'd realize we were sort of like heatedly really fighting about something work related, that if you were talking to any of your other coworkers, you would never be that fired up and you would never be that unprofessional in your mode of communication with them. And so to take a step back and understand, okay, if this is a work fight, it ought to just be like kind of a level-headed argument or disagreement. And then personal stuff, like try to work on personal fights separately from work.
If it's personal, you can be as, you know,
you can just let it fly.
Yeah, no,
anything goes. Yeah.
We would find out that we'd be arguing about something, a disagreement on work, but then all of a sudden you get into the personal stuff and we'd have to be like, whoa, time out. Like, are we arguing about like pricing here or something to do with work, or like, we're starting to tell each other all
the
things.
Are we still mad about like the wedding guest list?
Yeah.
All right. So our two oldest kids have been loving science experiments. We post about it all the time on Instagram. And lately we've been trying to find better ways to keep and continue their curiosity going.
Yes. And so I found KiwiCo with Drew when she was an infant, but have since graduated Drew and Jet, our two oldest, to like their science boxes, which helps them with like engineering, robotics, technology. And they love getting their hands dirty and in it. And the things that KiwiCo comes up with is amazing. So each month, if you subscribe or get a membership, you get a new box in the mail for your kid to open. And it's filled with goodies. I remember this as an infant and it was amazing.
Awesome.
But now as a toddler, it's even cooler. They get to discover and build and create things with their science boxes that are amazing.
The activities are nonstop. You get to do things like engineering, robots. There's learning about science of ice cream. That was one of our kids' favorite. Yes. But they always do age-appropriate things as well, which is really cool and important. It allows the teaching and learning process to go really smoothly.
Yes. My favorite thing about KiwiCo is that their boxes are age-appropriate. So as your kid gets older, the boxes develop with them. And it also kind of tells you where they should be developmentally. I remember as a parent, it's when I started KiwiCo as a kid, like as an infant, I loved that it gave parents tips to kind of encourage the educational process for your kid. It can be hard to find creative ways to keep your child engaged, challenged, and off their screens, but KiwiCo does the work for you so you can spend quality time tackling projects together.
That's right. So redefine learning with play. Explore projects that build confidence and problem-solving skills with KiwiCo.
Get 50% off your first month on any crate line at KiwiCo.com with promo code COUPLE.
That's 50% off your first month at KiwiCo.com, promo code COUPLE.
Today's episode of Couple Things is brought to you by Element.
As you know, I'm obsessed with this new company that we have partnered with and cannot believe that more of you don't know about them.
Well, let's tell them about it, babe.
So Element is a tasty electrolyte drink mix with everything that you need and nothing that you don't. It contains science-backed electrolyte ratio, which, if you're asking, is 1,000 milligrams of sodium, 200 milligrams of potassium, and 60 milligrams of magnesium.
Element is formulated to help anyone with their electrolyte needs and is perfectly suited for people who are following a keto, low-carb, or paleo diet. You don't have to worry about all the extra fillers.
And I love the fact that I can use it for my after-workout recovery because I know that it will replace the sodium that I have lost. You cannot go wrong with that.
Who sweats more, me or you?
You, by far.
By a long shot. Element is used by everyone from the NBA, NFL, and NHL players to Olympic athletes to the everyday parent, like Sean and I are now. It doesn't matter who you are, Element will take care of you.
Element is so sure you will love their product and come back for more. They're offering you a free Element sample pack. That's 8 single serving packs free. Just cover the cost of shipping, which is $5 for U.S. customers. Get yours at drinkelement.com/EastFam. This deal is not available on their regular website.
Try it totally risk-free. If you don't like it, share it with a salty friend and we'll give you your money back. No questions asked. You have nothing to lose. You must go to drinkelement.com/EastFam. Let's get back to it.
I actually, now thinking about it, I haven't had this thought until you just described it like you did, but like a lot of people say, oh, there's so much complication that is injected when you work with your spouse, but there is the benefit of having kind of like that third party perspective where you can always like kind of step back and view it from, you know, everything from, is this a work or personal fight? Or, you know, I feel like it gives you a reason to step back and view the argument not from the, you know, the trenches in the moment. You know what I'm saying? I feel like it can lessen the emotions that way.
Yeah. And I think one of the best things about working together is understanding, not the best thing about working together, but what makes your marriage easier in that way is that you really understand what's going on in his day to day that day or mine that day. So you don't have to argue over my meeting's more important or this is more important to me today because we completely get it. So there may be a day where I'm like, yeah, I'm going to take the kids to school because I 1000% understand you have to be at the office at a certain time. There's no like trying to convince mine's more important or yours is more important. And they're together as one goal.
That's good.
So you guys have twins. Mm-hmm. That is Andrew's dream in life.
I don't know. Like the first few years exactly. were not yeah, not a dream.
How old are your twins now?
They're 7 now.
Oh my gosh. So boy and girl. Mm-hmm.
My dream.
Yeah, no. And it actually runs in his family, which is kind of scary to me. First, congratulations. And second, how did the dynamic of having twins affect your life? Because you're your own bosses. You run your own business. You guys work together. You work probably from home when it comes to like maternity leaves and stuff. How did the dynamic of having twins affect your business and your relationship?
I think at the beginning, having twins for us was probably the same impact as it is for anybody, which is just pure exhaustion when they're infants. So you're not getting a ton of your best work done. You're not getting a ton of your best communication with each other or other people done. So for the temporary time being when they're infants, it changes in that way in that you're just not really at the top of your game.
But it is ultimate teamwork, though, because if we had just had one at a time, right, we'd be arguing like, you hold him or I can watch her or whatever. When you have two at once, it was just mayhem. And so it's just like all hands on deck. So it's no time for disagreeing on who's watching the kid or anything like that. We both had one in our arms the entire time.
Yeah, that's true. Wow.
Some advice that I heard recently that helped me change my perspective was don't try to simultaneously work and like be a parent at the same time. So like sometimes I've found myself historically being on my computer, like trying to write an email one handed while holding the baby, and that 100% of the time will end in frustration. Do you guys agree with that, and or have other tips such as this?
I would agree with that. We had the kind of babies that wouldn't be like, they needed 100% attention. They weren't meant to be twins. I think they needed all the attention, and they weren't the kind that you could just put in one of those little bouncers and then do something. They would just cry their heads off about that. So I don't even think we had the luxury of trying to write an email. The entire time that they were infants and little babies, I think we sat down and watched 15 minutes of a show one time, because they just weren't happy to be, you needed to be like doing things, performing for them at all times.
You know, I'll say, looking back, you know, I have this regret because I was on my phone a lot, like trying to catch up on work or like read emails. But I'll watch videos now of them when they were little, and we're like, oh, that's so cute, that's so sweet. And I'm literally in the video, but I feel like I wasn't there. And like, I'm kind of wish I could go back and just be even more present. I mean, I was there, and in the videos, a lot of times I'm engaging, but I just feel like, because it goes by so fast when you have twins, you don't have one, and then you go through all the milestones, then you have the other, it all starts, and it all, you know, you get out of that milestone right away. It just felt like I wanted and needed more time. Looking back on it, I wish I was even more present than I was then.
Dang, you're hitting me right now, Leon. We're in it. We have a 6-month-old.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, it's one of those things too with infants. It's like you're rushing to get them to the next milestone, but then as soon as they hit it, it's almost like you're sad that it's there, because it's also, you're sleep deprived, so you forget half of it. And you're like, wait, did they start walking last night, or was that 2 years ago, or is that happened yet?
The sleep situation is crazy. I mean, you're just not your right self with when you've got little babies and no sleep. But yeah, that's the one thing about twins, that we absolutely love having twins. But the one downside is, once you've reached, if that's all you're going to have, which is for us, that's it. It's just this one set. Once they're done, you know, like once they're done mispronouncing a certain word, then it's gone. Like, there's no more baby talk. Like, it's over. I once came down and their babysitter was correcting. I forget what it was that they said. They used to say stopping wet a lot instead of sopping wet. And she was like, it's sopping wet. And they were like, it is. And I was like, no, don't correct it. That's my last baby thing left.
I'm getting all sentimental. Jeez,
guys. Our 2-year-old's like really talking, and she's starting to like figure the words out. And we actually had that the other day. She says Baba for bottle. And we had someone come in our house. Oh, one of our friends is a speech pathologist. And she's like, oh, you should really work on her saying bottle. And I was like, no.
I disagree.
Absolutely not. No. It makes her sound like a baby.
Yeah, exactly. You still have like 3 or 4 more years.
Two talking is like prime cute time. Yeah. For sure.
It's so fun. Okay, jumping back though, I have a lot of questions in regards to like business and your relationship. So you guys have been very open, especially in your book and like interviews, that when you first started like really diving into the business, it wasn't all, you know, roses and sunshine. Rainbow, what's that?
Sunshine and rainbows.
There you go.
I think so.
Sunshine and rainbows. But you guys were working like 120 hours. The money was really tight, especially when it comes to starting any very successful business. It's like that. Did that ever affect your relationship when it came to like finances and trying to manage potentially a family and run that business at the same time?
So that's a fantastic question. And I think we were lucky in that when we started the business, we were still in college. And then as soon as we graduated college, we went full time with it. We didn't have the pressures of starting a family at the same time as starting the business. So by the time we started a family, the business was sort of stable. And there were no finances. I mean, yeah. we didn't need anything. You know, we shared a 500 square foot apartment that cost not very much money. We just didn't have any expenses. And so we were losing money and not making money, but it didn't really put a strain on us because we didn't really have any expectations for anything outside of that.
Do you guys really like cookies still?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. You would think that, you know, at work, we're always trying cookies out. It's like this big, you know, more cookies, more flavors coming in. And it is literally like that, especially for the book. There's, I think, 30 recipes. And so we were testing out recipes for the better half of a year and a half.
That was a lot, but still, yes, still like them. Yeah.
I'm curious, because now they had to go through recipe tasting. What was your least favorite flavor that you've tasted?
From the book? Recipe testing
or any over the years.
We've had some
stinkers, yeah, that didn't even make the cut. I remember one of the ones that we did roll out that it doesn't sound that bad, but it was milk chocolate cherry with like dried cherries in it. Nobody wanted that. It did not sell. And after that, I made a rule that outside of raisins, we don't do dried fruit in cookies, because it's just not fantastic. They're not gross. They're just not amazing. And then we did a maple bacon one once that sounded really good, but the bacon was all soggy.
Yeah.
It wasn't very
good. Not a winner.
Yeah.
Interesting. I'm kind of into soggy bacon, but that's personal.
Oh, really?
What's each of your favorite flavors?
On our regular menu, my favorite flavor is oatmeal chocolate chip.
And mine's snickerdoodle for me.
Oatmeal chocolate chip. Talk to me.
I say
Tiff.
Oatmeal chocolate chips, maybe one of our favorite. Like,
oh wow, because that's not like one of the most popular ones.
It's
so that's
weirdly
interesting.
Not, but I wonder if it divides between oatmeal raisin and oatmeal chocolate chip. So it's like a split.
Yes, because I'm more chocolate chip and he's more oatmeal raisin. So I think that's probably why.
I'm in on anything oatmeal. Did you guys ever almost pull the shoot on? Not to get too much in the weeds, but either the business or like
the relationship,
we probably should have on both. You know, there are times where
day by day on everything. No, we didn't. We surprisingly not. You would think, and when you look back on it, we should have considered closing the business in those first few years. It had no future. It was making no money. It was growing. To us, it seemed like it was growing great, but on paper, it was growing very, very slowly. And then, you know, then we'd get somewhere and then we'd make another move and we'd start losing money because of our new growth venture. I think the biggest time it could have gone out of business without us making the choice was when we lost our lease to our kitchen space that we were using. And we were really struggling to find another spot. So we ended up getting very, very lucky and finding a new spot to move into, just under the wire. But that was the biggest time when it could have gone out of business. That was back in 2003.
Yeah, and Tiff said what kept us in it was we just kept feeling like there was something special building with the brand, but none of the financial metrics, you know, showed that. But we had so much great customer feedback, people emailing, calling us, saying you're making such a special moment in our lives. And that's when we kind of realized that we call them, it's corny, but we call them warm cookie moments, because what we're realizing is people are using the warm cookies as a way to connect with each other and show love, appreciation, gratitude, comfort. And so it was really always, there's always something there beyond just the cookies. And so that really kept us going and that kept us motivated when everything else seemed to go against us staying alive as a business.
Yeah, it was like we were operating off of gut. In our guts, we knew there was something special here. So truthfully, other than those times when, you know, luck's just not going your way, we never, ever considered quitting. And we've never considered leaving each other either.
Yes.
We've been together too long for that.
If you know me, you know I love cereal. Our whole family does. And growing up, cereal was one of the best parts of being a kid. But now that I'm older, I know it's important to watch out for empty carbs and extra sugar. So I took a little break there from eating so much cereal. But now I've tried Magic Spoon. And Magic Spoon has classic flavors and the crunch you love, but it has way less sugar and it's high in protein.
We love Magic Spoon in the East household. I always get the variety pack. It has 4 flavors, cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter. This pack has 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and 4 to 5 grams of net carbs with only 140 calories per serving. It's high protein, has 0 grams of sugar. It's keto friendly, gluten free, grain free, and soy free.
It's pretty wild to think a cereal can be high in protein and low carb and still taste delicious, but it does. I love eating a bowl of the fruity flavor after a workout for some extra protein. And Sean here loves the cocoa flavor as a snack before bed. We think everyone should try Magic Spoon and taste the difference themselves. Go to magicspoon.com/eastfam to grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code EASTFAM at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked.
Remember, start the new year off right with a delicious bowl of high-protein cereal at magicspoon.com/EASTFAM. And use our code EASTFAM to save $5 off.
Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode.
I will say, I found you guys probably 5 years ago, 6 years ago. And I think it's really cool. In Nashville, it's very like small local businesses. And so there were a couple like cookie places I knew of. But I remember there was a friend of ours who had just gotten home from the hospital. And it was like an odd time of the day where you couldn't really get anybody to deliver anything. And I came across you guys and the whole concept of like the warm cookie delivery. I remember it was when Chuck got out of the hospital and we sent him this huge delivery of milk and cookies. And I just remember him just being blown away that they were still warm. And it was just the coolest thing. So you guys have been our go-to ever since then, which has been really cool.
It's almost like your mom's showing up. And like,
it really
delivering.
Is. It's yeah. a warm hug.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. And we saw that during the shutdown and the beginning of the pandemic. We couldn't handle the amount of business we were getting because people needed a way to literally connect because they physically couldn't connect, right? And so we saw people ordering for their grandparents that were stuck in nursing homes. They were sending them cookies at least to say, hey, you know, we're thinking about you. We hope you're okay. Skipped birthdays. A lot of people missed their birthdays.
They missed birthdays. Mother's Day was big because, you know, in 2020, Mother's Day, people couldn't really get together for that. Mother's Day, graduation, all kinds of stuff. So, yeah, we had a huge uptick in people wanting to send gifts to each other.
Which has been more difficult so far based off your experience? The times where the business wasn't going well, or more recently when you guys have been absolutely smashing it? Is there like...
Interesting. Yeah, I say this a lot. When times aren't going well, when we were like looking at payroll in our bank account, and there are times where I look at the bank account and I'd be like, I have no idea how we make payroll. I don't know how we're going to make rent. Those early days, it was just stress, just so much stress. I started having these panic attacks. I thought I was, you know, having a stroke. I went to the emergency room. I literally didn't know what was wrong with me. And the doctor was like, yeah, you're really stressed out. And so during those times when you're struggling, you have stress. Then I always thought, hey, once we get to a certain point and we're able to pay our bills and things are going well, there won't be stress. There won't be stress at all. And I was right. The stress gets replaced, though, by pressure. Now you have pressure to succeed. You have investors counting on you. You have employees that have been with us for 20 years, 15 years, who've given up doing other things to stay a part of this company to help grow it. We've seen people grow up and have families, and people are counting on us for their mortgage now. And so that pressure replaces that stress. And, you know, it's not any better. It's not any worse. It's just different.
Wow, mm-hmm. That's deep.
Yeah, that is.
That's good.
We just got off of a podcast tour where we actually got to see a lot of people face to face, which has been a change because of the past 2 years. And we actually got asked that a lot of the whole entrepreneurial world. What's like the most valuable lesson in starting a business that you wish you could have told yourself back then?
If we wish we could tell ourselves back then.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the lessons that we learned along the way were, one, stick to what you do. Like, find a niche and stick to that niche. Be really, really good at the thing that you want to be good at, especially in the beginning. There's time to branch out later, but kind of like, put your flag down on something, and ours was warm cookie delivery because you guys were just saying, oh, I can't believe, you know, they're still warm. We get that all the time. But that's what we do. I mean, that is the one thing that we really specialize in. getting you the cookies right out of the oven. That, and then our other big takeaway was make it your focus and get ready to work hard on it.
Yeah, it's you hear like work smart, you know, not hard. Well, I really think competition is such in everything you do, whether it's an Olympic event or starting a business, where you can't just work smart. You gotta also work hard. You can't stress that enough. And so that's something that we consistently say, and it seems so simple, but these days we can't shout it loud enough. You still gotta work hard.
Wow.
With your guys' book that you released, it released this April.
Mm-hmm. It's coming this April. Yeah.
Coming this April. What was the whole, inspiration behind that? Behind writing a book, behind sharing the recipes, behind just all the stories you're sharing?
Yeah, I mean, we've been in business for a long time now, and so we've always toyed with the idea of telling our story, especially as we get sort of bigger as a company. When we were smaller, everybody sort of knew how we started, and then now we've gotten a little bit bigger, we're like, you know, it's a fun time to go in and really talk about the early days and how this started and kind of what are some of the things we did to get from there to here, but still in the middle of our journey because we're still growing. It's not like a look back memoir per se because we're not done. We still have so much more to go. So that seemed like a fun time. And then the recipes was an addition that we weren't initially expecting to do because we've never published recipes before.
You guys have
recipe time.
You guys have 30 recipes in the book?
I think there was about 28, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. And so what we decided to do was highlight our flavors of the week. So for years, we've done a certain flavor of the week. About every month, we would throw one out there. And so they're a little bit more fun, things that maybe aren't just the standards that are on your standard menu. And so we decided, well, we've got enough of these that we would put those together for the book, all the like really fun ones, the limited time ones that people are always anxious to come back. And just to give the book a little bit of extra something fun.
Right, and we also, whenever we do some speaking engagements every so often at universities, or we've had big corporations like Dell or Southwest Airlines invite us to speak to their people. And we get a lot of the same questions, you know, hey, how do you do this? Or how's it like working with your spouse was one of them. That's why we put it in the book. And so we wanted to consolidate all of the things that people were most curious about and just put it into a you know, book format. And we thought it'd be fun to do. And it has been fun to do.
Yeah.
Do you find yourselves baking at home a lot since you have like a baking business?
I think it ebbs and flows. We baked at home a ton when we were putting the recipes together because we were testing out so many different ones because we had to reformulate them all for home baking because when we make them, you know, they're giant. And so we had to tweak everything down, and then you would test it 1,000 times. Plus home ovens are completely different than commercial ovens. So everything needed to be changed.
Interesting.
But yeah, you know, we bake for like all of the holidays and things, and we still bake for fun.
Well, you bake. I know. Yeah. Her and the twins.
Yeah.
Tiff, did you have a reputation before you sent the sorry for standing you up cookies? Were you like known as the cookie chick?
I did. Yes. I was. Yeah? Okay, it was really more through high school than anything else that I was known for making cookies. I would make cookies for part of my dance. There was like, I was on a 60-person dance team, and I remember making cookies for everyone, which at the time seemed like a lot. Now that makes me laugh because I probably wouldn't even very many cookies.
Yeah, she was drill team captain, and for her girls, she would just make these cookies, and that's what she was known for.
Yeah, and then when we went to college, I stopped doing it because I didn't have a kitchen. I was living in a dorm, and so I hadn't actually baked in a couple of years. And then we just happened to be back at home for winter break, and I struck it back up for this.
Remind me where you guys went to college?
University of Texas at Austin.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
Sick.
I will say, Tiff, that was like my big move for him back in the day is I would bake him cookies or cupcakes.
Oh, really?
That was my only thing.
You crushed it.
We have a lot. We have a lot in common. That's really cool.
Yes.
I don't believe you when you said you were stressed, Leon. I can't imagine you as a stressed out guy.
No,
there was a period of time, and
Sean and I are building both a family and a business, and our timelines maybe a little more compressed than yours mm-hmm. was, where you had the business and then, you know, it was kind of established by the time you had the kids. But there's definitely been times where I'm like, gosh, this is not worth it. Let's just stop doing the business stuff and just I can just get a job and we can go our separate ways and like and take
not
that.
Us go our separate ways. Good call.
Professionally. But then I always think about how fun and amazing it is for Sean and I to have these shared memories, like, and spend, for better or for worse, most of every day together and like build this project together. And I hear couples who don't work together, like, they'll always still have dreams, it seems, of like, oh, you know, this is our house that we want to build. Or like, they always have projects in the works they're still doing together. And for Sean and I to have this project together is so special. So I always try to remind myself with that. But you like it?
Yeah, I was going to say, what you're saying right now is, we don't recommend every couple work together. I wouldn't even say that I recommended us working together. But when you go through all that we went through, and it is just a whole book's worth of just misfortune and bad luck, and also some good luck too. But if you're lucky enough to get to the other side of it as a couple through the arguments and disagreements and stress and all that, it is so amazing to have. We have something that not very many people have, and that's, you know, I can look at her and we literally seen her blood, sweat, and tears pour her life into something. I've seen her at the lowest of the lows, the most scared she's ever been, the most stressed she's ever been, the saddest she's ever been, or the most doubt she's ever had. And then to be able to see her every step along the way, I just feel that's so special. And we have this respect for each other that I don't think you can get unless you've been there with each other during all those bad times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's cool.
I think it's cool as well. Like Andrew was saying, you can have, if you share separate jobs and you're doing your 9-to-5s and you see each other at night, you do have those shared dreams of like the house or whatever. And what is fun is being able to dream and build a business together. It's almost like you can celebrate with each other on a daily basis. You see like the business calls that go well or don't, and you kind of get to like live out those little wins every day, all day.
Yeah,
you know, through the year. Which
The don't parts are some of the best memories. You know, when we were working those 120 hours and we weren't making any money, we were working day and night. And I remember some of our most fondest memories is driving home with her after a long day, and we skipped dinner because we were just us two. We're so busy. And I'd look over at her and I'd be like, hey, what do you want to do tonight? Do you want to eat or do you want to go straight to sleep? And we only had time for one. And if you want one extra hour of sleep, you got to go home. But if you're too hungry, you got to stop. And depending on the day, she'd look over at me and she'd be like, sorry, I got to eat. Can we stop somewhere? And it was those moments that you look back on now, that, you know, the not great ones that are the fondest. Yeah. It's really interesting. Mm-hmm.
Andrew and I have been talking about this a lot lately, and I'm sure other parents can relate. It seems like we buy our kids clothes and they grow out of them instantly, which is why we are so glad we found the brand Posh Peanut. Listen closely, guys. Their clothes are amazing quality and made from viscose, from bamboo. So they stretch with your kid as they grow and are 4 times stretchier than cotton. They have the cutest patterns too, from florals and Barbie to Disney and Hot Wheels. They have something for every kid that every kid will love, and they're truly made to last.
Jed asked to wear his Hot Wheels pajamas every night, and it's honestly adorable. It is adorable. The fabric is really soft and stretchy, which comes in handy when you're still changing diapers.
Oh, for sure. Plus, I swear their clothes get even softer the more you wash them, which usually doesn't happen with kids' clothes.
We also love that their clothes are chemical-free, which means they're delicate enough for babies with sensitive skin, which is something we've been paying attention to for Bear.
Posh Peanut is made for infants and kids, but they also have sizes for moms and dads if you want the whole family to match. And if you're not a parent, consider this the perfect gift idea for any little one. For real, you guys, we love this brand and they're loved by over 1 million parents. Check them out.
Right now, Posh Peanut is offering our listeners 20% off your first order with promo code EastFam. Go to poshpeanut.com/EastFam and use promo code EastFam for 20% off your first order.
That's poshpeanut.com/EastFam, promo code EastFam. I'm headed there right now.
let's get back to it.
Today's episode is brought to you by an important sponsor, a life-changing sponsor, and that's BetterHelp.
I couldn't agree more, baby. I wish that BetterHelp had been an option during my career because I love the fact that it's available for everyone, everywhere.
BetterHelp actually helps to assess your needs and then they match you with your own licensed professional therapist. And it takes all the stress out of trying to find someone to be able to talk to, which we've been through that process. You look them up online, you go down to sit with them, you don't like them, it's on to the next one. And it's like a kind of a waste of your time, you feel like, but not with BetterHelp.
It really is. So with BetterHelp, they're awesome. You can even start communicating in under 48 hours with your matched therapist. This is not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is professional counseling done securely online. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so you won't ever have to sit in that uncomfortable waiting room like we have, as with traditional therapy.
It's also more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available, which we love. You cannot go wrong with BetterHelp.
BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can give it a try and see if online therapy can help lower your stress.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and Couple Things listeners can get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/eastfam. Let's get back to it.
So, Leanne, you seem to be the one who encouraged Tiff to really pursue building this business and doing it together. What did you see in her that you knew she would be successful?
I don't know if you thought that through at all.
I'll tell you this much, without getting too sappy, Tiff is the most humble person in the world. She doesn't get it. She doesn't understand how capable and smart she is. People here will, we'll walk in someplace, and if somebody notices or recognizes her, they'll be like, they'll freak out. And she can't imagine why anyone would care about her at all. But I see it. And so it's one of those things where she's so humble, it's almost to a fault. And she really is. She's always deflecting praise. She's always saying, I don't deserve this, or I don't deserve that. You know, I don't think we can do this. You know, I don't think I'm capable of doing this every step of the way. But then when she really goes up against it, she always succeeds in everything she does. She's like one of the most successful / humble people that I've ever known.
Wow.
And then Tiff, same question to you. What did you see in Leon way back in the day where you were like, I want to go into business with him?
So I really don't think, I mean, you're assuming that we put any thought into starting the business, and that would be overstepping it. But what makes him continue to be successful is that when Leon puts his sights on doing something, which is why it's scary when they have these dreams, but when he puts his sights towards doing something, he's going to do it. He's going to figure out a way to get it done, and he's going to, you can trust that he's going to be successful at it, even if it was crazy to start with. He's just one of those people. He's probably the most, the best creative problem solver I've ever seen. There's never a problem to him that doesn't have like five potential solutions that he comes up with, like bam, 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 bam. You could do this, 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 or this. And so if you want to put something in his hands, it's pretty much a layup. Like if he wants to do it, he'll do it.
So next time we're having marriage problems, we just need to come on here and talk to you guys about it. Yeah. You know, why?
Let's ask you all the reasons why you love each other. Yes.
You guys have said some things that have really impacted me positively. So thank you for this. Seriously. My last question is, when we come, you guys are in Texas?
Yeah.
When we come down there, can we buy you dinner?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You guys ever been to Austin?
Yeah.
I'm actually going tomorrow.
What the heck, dude? Gosh.
Well, we got to do it together. Or we don't want to make you feel jealous.
Yes.
Yeah, but guys, I mean, Austin is, I mean, it's very similar to Nashville, a lot of folks say, right? And so come on down. We'd love to meet up with you guys.
That's great. All right, so we heard the sentimental side of things. From a marriage perspective, what's the best advice you've either been given or would give based off your experience?
Oh, I'll let you go first.
Marriage advice?
Yeah, we're not really great at that, giving marriage advice. Or marriage, I guess.
We're currently married. Yeah. oh, gosh. You know, I don't know if this is impactful to other people, but one thing we try to do is to maintain being polite to each other. Oh, yeah. We don't always succeed at it. But we do, like, instead of saying, go fix that light bulb, you know, I would say, would you mind, could you please, when you have a chance, that light bulb is out, it would be great if you would fix it. And so, you know, treating ourselves with the same kind of courtesy that you would treat somebody else, it's not always easy to do. We don't always succeed at it, but we do try to do that.
I love that.
No, Leon's not done.
Well, I just want to say real quick, we've gotten to interview a lot of couples from every walk of life. And we have yet to ever hear that. That's really special.
Yeah, that's really like mostly that. Her. I think it's probably because I am not good at that. She's like, we need to try to do that as a couple.
No, it's not. It's honestly because you can see older couples sometimes and just the way that they're interacting with each other on an airplane, for example, and they don't even notice that they're doing it. But you're like, you know, it's not great talking to somebody else in that tone. Nobody wants to be spoken to that way, and we don't have to. Even though we're super comfortable with each other, we don't have to speak to each other, you know, in that kind of tone all the time.
Yeah, and you know, for me, there's obviously a trust thing that has to work in a marriage, but also in a business as well. And so, we differ on almost every little opinion. We luckily, big picture, we are very aligned, but like on how to get to the big picture, she goes this way, I go the other way. But at a certain point, you delegate trust to the other person, depending on what it is. And so it's a kind of like, I don't see it. I actually disagree with you vehemently, but like, fine, I trust you. And depending on what it is, we try to do that for each other. Kind of out of no other, we could sit there and fight all day long.
It's more efficient.
Yeah, but it's more efficient to really just be like, okay, for this one,
it's all you.
Yeah, it's all you. And so we try to do that.
Piggyback question, how long did it take you to settle into your defined role as a CEO and president?
I mean, I guess our roles have changed over time, but a long time ago, we declared that Leon would be CEO. I like the idea of having one point person, so there's not confusion over, well, you know, mom said this, but dad said that, and we're not sure who's in charge. But our roles are super naturally, like they just naturally split just because we're so different.
Yeah, she's really good at the details, and I am awful at the details. And she doesn't like to do the finance stuff, or I mean, I don't love to do that, but also, I like it a lot more than her, and the investor stuff and the investor relationships, stuff like that. And so it just naturally delineates, and she's really in charge of the brand. Her name is on the sign. And so anything that touches the look and the feel or the taste of the product, it's 100% her. I can say whatever I want, but at the end of the day, it definitely is going to be up to her.
We have so much to learn, dude. Holy crap.
I know.
I'm jazzed up.
I know. We gotta ask you guys a ton more questions. Okay, right before we wrap, you guys are in the cookie business. A lot of people's hobby would be baking, but what are your hobbies outside of your business of baking?
That's good.
You know, we like to spend time with friends a lot. Harder now with COVID. You know, it's been kind of a weird couple of years for that, but... we'll go see music shows. You know, we live in Austin, so we'll go see concerts a lot. We love going to movies. I haven't done as much of that lately.
Yeah, and we're just not homebodies. So even though we have a place here in Austin near our work, we got a place downtown a few years ago because we were just going downtown so much and we didn't want to take a long Uber or whatever. So we got a little place downtown and we're there every weekend with the kids.
That's awesome.
We like to go eat. We like to go.
We like to be out and about.
Yeah, out and about by the lake and all that. So we're just not the couple that stays. It's probably because we, for years, all we did was work. And so when a lot of our friends were, you know, they had a job, a 9-to-5, but then they'd go to happy hours, they'd go out on weekends. We never got that in our 20s. We were just working through our 20s. And so I think to this day, we're still kind of like trying to make up for lost time. And so we're just never the sit-at-home type of people.
Wow. I can't tell you the last time I heard someone say that they weren't a homebody. I feel like it's like par for the course of like, oh yeah, I'm a homebody. I like to just watch movies on the couch.
Yeah, our friends get a little annoyed sometimes. Yeah. Because we're always like arranging dinners.
Yeah, they don't like my itineraries.
Do you find yourself outside of Austin a lot? Like, are you guys trying to not stay in Austin, like travel-wise? Do you get antsy about that? Or do you like being home in the city?
We love to travel. Also really enjoy being in Austin. But obviously we haven't traveled a ton in the last couple of years. Not like we would have wanted, but travel, you know, kind of took a backseat. We love to do it. We don't do it as much as we like, just because a lot of times we're tied for responsibilities here to the office.
Yeah, we've always taken like a long weekend, right? And we never had the time, or we felt like for the business, we could go on a 3-week trip to Europe. We did go on an 11-day trip to Europe probably 11 years ago, 10 or 11 years ago. And that's the longest trip we've ever been on. Otherwise, it's
11
four or 5 days.
11 weeks?
Maybe.
11 days.
11 days.
Yeah. 11 days.
11 days, sorry.
You guys are out here grinding.
No, my gosh. 11 days, yeah.
Yeah. What was the last concert you went to? Last question.
Well, we saw Churches pretty recently.
Yeah.
Oh, sick.
Yeah. ACL. Go. So ACL Moody is a 2,000 seat theater here. And it's the best music venue ever. It's just, there's not a bad seat in the house. You can see no matter where you get, and the acoustics are great. And so it happens to be really close to where we live downtown. And so we just walk and see shows all the time.
That's awesome.
I challenge that. Come up to Nashville. We'll go to the Ryman.
Yep.
And you'll see what a good music video.
Okay. Not to bash. We'll do a home and away. We'll take each other to the concerts.
Hey, listen, I'm so impressed by what you both have built for what it's worth. It's inspiring, and also to see how you've done it is even, I think, more fascinating and impressive. And the fact that you wrote a book about it is amazing, and congratulations on that. If you listening are curious to read their book called It's Not Just Cookies, we'll link it down below. It is a fantastic book full of recipes, pictures, and warm cookie stories, as you say. But Tiff and Leon, so much wisdom clearly to share, and glad that you are actively doing it. So thank you for joining us today, and we're looking forward to staying in touch.
All right,
thank you
guys.
Both so much. It was so awesome meeting you both.
Of course. Thank you, guys.
All right, real quick for all of those listening out there. We don't ask for a lot of favors, I don't think. Babe, do we?
No.
But we're going to ask you a favor today. All right, if you're listening to Couple Things Podcast on Apple Podcasts specifically, will you please do us this short, quick favor?
We want to make sure you're staying up to date with our show, and Apple's latest iOS update has paused downloads for many listeners, and some of you have expressed our latest episodes aren't being recommended to you on Apple Podcasts anymore.
So here's how to make sure you're getting your episode, and again, this is for Apple Podcasts specifically. Open up that podcast app on your iPhone.
Search Couple Things and tap our show's icon.
And then in the top right corner, you might see a plus follow symbol. If you do, tap it to resume following the show.
If you get a prompt to, quote, turn on automatic downloads, say yes. That way, you'll get all of the episodes. Thank you so much, guys. We're so glad this update was brought to our attention, because we want to make sure we're reaching as many of you as we can.
Love y'all, and we really appreciate you doing this.